May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Glad you're here. We're kind of settling in and the holiday is over. People are kind of back to Capistrano. And we're seeing a lot of new faces, and that's exciting. That's a wonderful thing. We're entering into a new season, a new liturgical season. This is the season of Epiphany. Epiphany comes between Christmas and Lent. So it's always like the poor stepchild, I think, gets short shrift. That's too bad, because it's a wonderful season. Epiphany means, knowing. It means being made aware of. I had an epiphany. I thought of something or I saw something. And this is where Jesus kind of comes out. This is, I call it, Jesus coming out party. Today it's white because it's the baptism of Jesus, but normally it will be green because green represents new life. And no matter what year you're in, A, B, or C, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the bookends for Epiphany, the first Sunday after Epiphany today would be the baptism of Jesus, and the last Sunday after the Epiphany is going to be the transfiguration on the mountain with Elijah and Moses. And in both cases, the skies open, and the voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," except on the transfiguration, it says, "Listen to him." And here he is with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, so he really is putting Jesus above the law and the prophets there. That's sort of the boundaries of what happens in the Epiphany. And in this season, in year B, we're going to be seeing Jesus gather his disciples. He's going to be casting out demons and healing people. So it really is a wonderful time of our liturgical season and year. Today is the baptism of Jesus. It's been very quiet. They call these the silent years of Jesus. When he was 12 years old, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's when he was 12 years old. And then later, Luke says, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. So this is 18 years of growing in stature and wisdom and in the eyes of God and the eyes of man. And now he's going to have his introduction, coming out party. And it happens with John the Baptist. John is also about 30 years old. They're about the same age. John is also the product of a miraculous birth, because his mother Elizabeth and his father Zechariah, it says that Elizabeth was barren, could not have children. He was way past the age anyway of bearing children. And so when Gabriel comes and announces that you're going to have a baby, Zechariah laughs. Remember that? Well, then he can't speak until the baby's born. Bad move. So if Gabriel comes to you and makes an announcement, just go along with it, because bad things happen if you don't. John grows up and becomes an interesting character. He's out in the desert. He looks like Elijah. He's wearing the camel hair and eating the locusts and the honey. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And he is the first prophetic voice in Israel for 400 years. There's a little bit, Gabriel talks to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he talks to Joseph, and he talks to Mary, but this is a real prophetic voice that is crying in the wilderness. And what's the result of that prophetic voice? The result is that people from Jerusalem and Judea, it says all the people from Jerusalem and Judea are coming out into this desert, trekking 20 miles into this salt desert to hear this prophet that looks like and reminds them of Elijah. And they're coming out because of his message. And what's happening is they're being convicted of sin in a way that they never have been before. And they're repenting of their sin, and they're seeking forgiveness, and they're being baptized. It was interesting because Jews were being baptized. Gentiles were baptized. That wasn't uncommon. If you were a Gentile and you wanted to become a Jew, you had to do three things. You had to be circumcised, you had to have sacrifice, and you had to be baptized. But for Jews to be baptized, now that was something really different and special. John has been doing this for about 6 months before Jesus shows up. And after Jesus is baptized, he has another 6 months where he continues his ministry. And then he's arrested by Herod. He's imprisoned for a year, and then he's beheaded. So he really has a run of about 1 year And 6 months into this time, Jesus shows up. Jesus comes. And in Mark's gospel, or Matthew's gospel, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River. In Mark's gospel, it says, in those days. Then, or in those days. At just the right time. Not before, not after, just right then. This was the moment when it was supposed to happen. Jesus was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. You ever had that happen? And you're wondering, whoa. And you kind of see God's hand in it. I've had a series of things like that happen to me recently. Tuesday, when it was such a wonderful, lovely day, if you remember, I had to go down to Living Waters to do something. And I went into our old sanctuary, and there was nothing in there anymore. They're going to put pews in. But I'm walking out of the building, and I'm coming back here, and I hear the Spirit say, go to your old building. I am not like Zechariah. Okay. So I get in my car, and for reasons unknown to me, I'm driving down to the old building, and I walk in, and I hear voices, and I go down to the old kids' room with the green tile, and they're building a wall, and I look up, and the guys say hi, you know. So I cut through the parish hall, and I'm walking out my old hallway where my office was, and there's no lights, and I hear somebody say, excuse me. And I turn around, and there's this silhouette of a guy, you know. Turns out to be the construction manager for the project. And he says, the Ocala utilities guy came by this morning and said he's going to cut the power off in 2 hours. Well, January 3rd, we gave them till January 3rd. They were supposed to shift the power over into their name, the school. Didn't happen. So I went back to the office and we said, we'll give you till Friday. Well, then I get a call from Living Waters that says they can't shift the power in their name because the construction's not done. So we said, we'll give it till the end of the month. They're paying the bill, so it doesn't matter to me. There was no reason I should have been there to have him say to me, the power guy came, and then we could make it right. Right? Strange. Wednesday, we had the morning Bible study, and normally we'll come up here and have the noon healing service. They've done that forever. Came up, and all here are tools laid out on pieces of cardboard and canvas because he was putting up these rails for Peg and Shirley. Seriously. And it's a good thing, right? Right. So I wasn't going to mess with them. I knew I'd be incurring the wrath of my helpers. So off we went early to lunch, and then we went over to Life Care. We saw three people, not at the same time like we normally do, but individually. And then normally, if we had done that, it would have been 4 o'clock, and we would have wrapped it up and come back in. But it wasn't. It was early. So where do you want to go? And they had a couple of, well, let's go see Annette. She's over at ORMC. And so we did, and you can never find his parking place over there. So I drop them off, and as they're getting out of the car, somebody's pulling out right in front of me. I went, park the car. I walk in, and right behind me comes Luke Gibson, Stacy Gibson's son. Stacy's a teacher over here. And he says, are you here to see my pop? And he was all excited. And I said, what's going on? And he said, my pop, he's hurt himself. I said, let's go to the ER and see what's going on. So we went over to the ER, and when we finally got the name right, Kelva Rooks, not Pete, Kelva, interesting first name. We went back, and there's all these family members, and they're going, Father Don, how did you know? How are you here? I said, I shouldn't have been standing there at that time of day, on that day, but that's where God wanted me to be, so that Luke could see me, and I could get him back to the ER, you know. Yesterday morning, I go down to ORMC. Karen Murphy's mom had surgery and kind of did okay after surgery, but then other things happened and complications occurred, and she's just ready to go. She's ready to go, and from the neck up, she's in great shape. For the rest of her, is such in great shape. She says, let me go. Stop everything. Stop tormenting me. Stop the torture, she says. I always want to go to hospice. And so we were talking and then got on the phone with David and we all kind of had a confab and now she's at Estelle House, you know. And Karen said, I can't believe you showed up when you did. Well, it's just one of those things where you're led by the Spirit to be where God wants you to be, kind of a 10-second rule thing. And the question is, are you listening? Am I listening to what God is trying to communicate to me on a regular, ongoing basis? And it's not because I'm special. I think God wants to talk to every believer in an ongoing way, and are we tuned in to the frequency, right? Right now, there's if you had a radio, right now there's frequencies flying through this thing all over the place, and God is trying to get our attention as well. Okay, well, that covers the first word of the verse. And I love the fact that those days, Jesus, a very unremarkable name, comes from Nazareth, a place that people generally didn't like, Galilee. Galilee was known as a very independent, kind of an upstart Gentile. The Decapolis was Gentile cities, nothing special about that. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, in Matthew, it says this, "Then Jesus came to Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him." John would not baptize Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes because they were phonies, phony baloney. And they weren't repentant. They were there to jeer, and he says, just stay away. Who, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? So he's really down on the spiritual, religious leadership. And here comes Jesus. And what's his response? John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? If there's any baptizing supposed to go on around here, you're supposed to baptize me. I'm not supposed to baptize you. Good grief. And Jesus says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all righteousness. I think Jesus is baptized for two reasons. One is to fulfill all righteousness, and the other one is to identify with sinners. We remember that Jesus ended his ministry on a cross between sinners, but we forget sometimes that he started his ministry in a river among sinners. To fulfill all righteousness means to conform to a standard. That's what righteousness means, to conform to a standard. The standard is God's will. What does God want? Anything that God wanted, Jesus was going to do. God wanted him to be baptized, so he was going to be baptized. Which leads me to the big idea. God desires every believer to make a commitment to do his will. And doing that will means sacrificial service to God and to others. That is what the Christian life is all about. Baptism for Jesus was the beginning of that 3-year journey to the cross. When John and James are kind of vying for a number one spot, who's going to sit on his right in the kingdom, Jesus says, really? Can you do the baptism I went through? Oh, no problem. He meant sacrifice. It was being sacrificial. And the ultimate end of that is justification. Because Jesus was obedient to the Father all the way through and went to that cross. And I think in the garden, he listens to the Holy Spirit when he says, is there a plan B? God says, no, this is the plan. You got to go through with it. Okay, I'm all yours. Not my will, but your will be done. And he goes to the cross. And because of that, he takes my sin on him, although he was sinless. Paul writes, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, when God looks at me, it's as if I lived Christ's life. Think about that, Linda. Kathy. Yeah, especially you. When he looks at Christ, it's as though he lived your life. And when he looks at me, it's as if I lived Christ's life. That's what justification is all about. That's that reconciliation between with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what was going on. The beginning of the process was this baptism. He was conforming to that standard. Immediately he saw, this is the first time I think Mark says immediately. He says it 41 times in his gospel. Immediately, right away. Not a lot of theology, but a lot of action. He saw the heavens opened. The word means torn asunder. I'm trying to think of what that would look like if the heavens were torn asunder. The only other time that this word is used in the New Testament is the tearing of the veil when Jesus is crucified. Think about that. It was a 4-inch veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. And it's torn from the top to the bottom. 4 inches thick. Torn asunder. The only other time that word shows up is here, when the heavens are torn open. And the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. When you think of a dove, you think of gentleness, you think of love, you think of all those good things. You know, it's a bird. I mean, you have the Atlanta Falcons, right? The Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if any team has the name Dove. Arizona Cardinal. Seattle Seahawks. See, I got all these football fans here. Anybody think of a team with a dove name? Oh, the Oregon Ducks. I thought you said doves. No. Here's what the people would have thought when they saw it, and I believe they saw it. Rich people sacrificed bulls. Middle class people sacrificed lambs. Poor people sacrificed doves. Mary and Joseph sacrificed a dove. When they see this dove descending upon Jesus, they're thinking sacrifice. I think they're really believing and thinking, seeing that as it comes down. And lights on him. There's something going on here. Don't know quite what it is, but something important is happening here. And then a voice speaks. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the Father telling the world, here he is. This is it. He's the one. It's his coronation. It's his inauguration into this work and into this ministry. And he is fully filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, in just a minute, the Holy Spirit is going to lead him into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. Because that's God's will for him at that time. Now, I'm sure if you ask Jesus, what would you like to do for the next 40 days, Jesus? He'd say, well, I think I'd like to go into the desert and fast, no water, no food for 40 days and be tempted by Satan. Yeah, that sounds good. Probably not. But it was God's will for him. The older you get, I think, true for me, you look back on your life and you say, oh, that's why that happened. If you're being led by the Spirit and you're being informed by the Spirit and God is informing your spirit, you say, oh, that's why that happened. At the time, I thought it was probably the worst thing that ever happened, but now I see what it led to. And if that hadn't happened, this never would have happened over here. And we begin to put pieces together, and I think it leads to trusting God more than we do normally. You know? Even bad things that we just go, oh, how could that have happened? You know? How could that have happened? The other thing is he identifies with us. He identifies with us. And Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions, for we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows me. He knows me inside and out. He knows my flaws. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my heart. I don't always get it right. And it's true, see. In this work of ministry, things happen to people that you would rather not have happened to them. But when they happen, and there's an opportunity to send somebody alongside somebody. See? So if you have a child who dies, I'm probably going to call Jim and Linda. Can you talk to them? Because they've experienced that. When you have cancer, I'm probably going to talk to a person who is a cancer survivor or maybe is even going through treatment. If you're struggling in business, there are people who have struggled in business and come through it. You have street cred. Jesus identifies with me. He knows me. And that's an important thing. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. How many people would like to hear that from mom and dad? You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. And how many people go through life wishing they could hear those words from their parents and never do? You know? Kathy and I are blessed. We're 3 for 3. Jay Carmichael's in the hospital. You'll hear his name in the prayers of the people. He's got the flu or something. Right, Julie? He's doing better today. It's his daughter here. So I saw Jay yesterday, and he says, now Liam, you know, works at Monroe. He says, Liam has a heart of gold. Because if you're sick and you're in the hospital, Liam will come see you. If you're a member of this congregation, he will make a pastoral call on you. And I will tell you, he always just brightens your day. I mean, he's such a different guy after that accident. So we're at, over Christmas, Liam, Sarah, the kids came, and he and I were riding down in the elevator, and there's this couple that came on the elevator. And Liam says, well, we're probably never going to see you again, so my name's Liam, and this is my dad, Don. What are your names? And he says, oh, I'm Jim, and this is, you know, Darlene. And we just had this 30-second conversation. Everybody's laughing as we got off the elevator. And he said, oh, I do that in the hospital all the time. Crazy. Or Eleanor. She's over at, she's on the PA trauma unit. She's a PA in the trauma team over at ORMC. And I walk over there. If I've got to go to the fourth floor or I'm in ICU, people say, hello, Eleanor's dad. Hello, Eleanor's dad. Like that. And or if I'm with her and she's talking to somebody, she'll say, this is my dad. Or like that. And there are times when that's not the case. Those relationships don't exist. But don't give up. If you're in a situation where, you know, that's not true for you, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying for yourself and keep praying for your kids. Because God never gives up on us. We shouldn't give up on anybody either. You know, that's really true. It's really true. And words can hurt. There was a time when I was knew a guy, and he'd always try to make his mother happy. Couldn't do it. Went to medical school. Thought that'd do the trick. Right, Doc? So the day he graduates, they're having lunch. He and his parents are having lunch. And she says, his mother says, so what kind of a doctor are you going to be? He says, I've decided to be a psychiatrist. She went, now he's telling me this. She went, oh, I thought you were going to be a real doctor. He told me that story that it happened 35 years earlier as if it had happened that day. That day. And you could just see the knife going in one more time. Behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Say that about your kids. So Jesus comes along. He gets baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to identify with us in order that justification might take place on the cross. That's what really this is all about. This is the starting point for that mission, that journey that he's going to be on for 3 years in this earthly ministry. And that really is the message to us, too. We should fulfill all righteousness. We should seek out God's will. Because God desires every believer to make a commitment to do his will. And doing that will means sacrificial service to God and to others. Because that is what the Christian life is really